Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Moody's Dental. Come and get a free consultation from the implant and Invisalign experts like I did and start the year right with a healthy smile. Call 305-821-0231 or visit moodysdental.com.
It's time to talk a little Canes. This is the Big O Show. And we'll talk a little Marlins, too, right now with Manny Navarro from The Athletic. It's our Canesware Miami Hurricanes report. We do it every week at this time, as always. And Manny, I saw you, my brother, in that scrum up there in Jupiter, my brother, doing a little baseball because it's been very, very good to you.
Yeah. You know, it's the time of year, man, where things slow down with the Canes. And so they asked me to help out and do a few Marlins games. And so that's why I was up there, part of that scrum. I was speaking, so I was there basically to see if there was going to be any important news. And really, it was the same message we hear from them, is that they expect to win more this year. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You know, Tom DeAngelo was there with you in that scrum, and we had him on earlier. And I just want to get your thoughts, because I know people kind of ran with it, what Sherman said about building a championship team. I almost felt like he really didn't really express himself the right way. I don't think he literally meant that they're building a team that's going to win a championship this year, but the stuff that's going to resemble what they're going to build down the line is what this year is about, that players that will be a part of that championship culture that they want to build. That's kind of the sense that I picked up from it. But, you know, the average fan or maybe even some media members might run with this and say, oh, Sherman's predicting a title this year. I don't really think he meant that. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think a lot of what he was talking about was, look, we made these trades a couple of years ago. This is year number three, and we expect to start seeing some results in the form of heading towards what we want to be as a franchise. I think you're right. I think a lot of people did walk away from that. And I'm reading the headlines today as I sit here finally writing that Marlins story. I'm sitting here in front of my computer doing that now. And yeah, you're right. I came away with the same impression that some people just, I think, took it literally. And the reality is, I think he knows and everybody at the Marlins knows that that's not reality. I mean, look, until all of those guys, all of those prospects are in the major leagues and really helping your franchise and are the cornerstones of your franchise, you're not going to get anywhere near the playoffs. And so I think, you know, they're trying to sell positivity, man. They lost 105 games last year. They're trying to sell fans on the long-term vision that, hey, ride with us. We like the young guys that we have. This is the most talent we've had on the 40-man roster in years, and we really like where these guys are going to be. Can we tell you how many games we're going to win this year? Not necessarily, but we do feel like things are headed in that right direction. I think that's more of what I took away from being there yesterday. But maybe that's just me and having 25 years of experience doing this, and you as well, knowing that, sort of reading between the lines and taking it for what it really is.
Yeah, that's the way I looked at it. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at, you know, 65 to 70. I think you and I talked about this at FanFest. That would be the realistic number, and that if you can hit 65 to 70 as a Marlins fan, you got to be happy with that, because that's really good progress from 57.
Yeah, I mean, look at what they've done to the lineup. I mean, really, you're going to be sort of experimenting with Jonathan Villar in center field. He's probably your best player, pound for pound. He's 28 years old, everything, you know, stealing 60 bases in the past, hitting 25 home runs with the Orioles. I mean, this guy is going to be trying to have a tremendous season so that when he hits free agency next year, he can make himself some money. And then you get Dickerson, who's a former All-Star, who's still relatively young, a good hitter. You got him in left field. I mean, to me, those are the two main pieces that you added in the offseason. Everything else is, okay, what can you get, you know, out of the rest of the young guys that you have? When will they finally really be able to contribute? And will they get to 7-8 more wins? I think so. I agree. I think 65 is probably a fair number, you know, to put on a win total. But look, man, it's a difficult division too, man. I mean, I was just looking at the payrolls of what the Phillies and the Braves and everybody else, you know, what they spent to you know, make their teams. And it's so much more than the Marlins, who have the worst TV contract in baseball. you know, and look, the bottom line is if they lose 100 games again this year, I don't think you can fault them. I think it's more about, do these young players that they train for, do they grow up and start to become a factor? They start to contribute the way you envision. I think that's the bigger focus. That's where the focus should be on if you're a Marlins fan.
I'm with you there. Manny Navarro, of course, with our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report, which now we'll get to the Canes now. What'd you think of the ACC supporting the one-time transfer opportunity for all student athletes, regardless of sport? How is that going to affect anything there? Or do you think it will affect the football team in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I mean, obviously the NCAA has to pass that legislation, but essentially the Big Ten and the ACC are both in agreement now that, hey, you know what? You got a one-time get out of jail free card. You know, if you sign with a school and you want to transfer somewhere else, you know, it's just like a coach. You know, if a coach leaves you and you came to that school for that particular coach, you know, you want to be free of you want to be free and allowed to change schools for that reason. I think now what this rule it basically says, you get one quick pass anywhere you want without having to sit out a year, and I think that's good. I think that's good for the sport. If coaches are allowed to leave that easily, players should be able to leave that easily. And I think what you're going to see now, if that comes through and the NCAA agrees with it, is you're going to see a lot more guys who are sitting on the bench at the school entering that transfer portal knowing that they can go to wherever they want and get a change of scenery. Now, how many of them will actually get the situation they're looking for, we'll see. But I think it's a good idea for college football to go through with it, because to me, this whole drama of I have to appeal and I have to, you know, make up some excuse because my grandmother's sick or my father or whatever it is, you know, the things that these kids go through to try to, I think the NCAA wants to get rid of it, and a one-time pass to change schools is probably the right approach.
How's De'Aaron King, man? That kid had to deal with some stuff here the last couple of days.
Yeah, his father passed away on Saturday, unfortunately. Still a young guy. I think he's 48 years old. You know, somebody had messaged me on Saturday, and they said, "Did you hear about De'Aaron's father?" And I said, "No." And then I look on his Twitter page about an hour later, and he posts, you know, this long message about his dad and losing him. And, you know, that's obviously tough to deal with, man. Anytime you lose a parent, and De'Aaron was obviously very close with his dad. His dad ran a 7-on-7 team in the Houston area, and you know, a lot of those athletes from the Houston area loved his dad, really appreciated what his father did for them with that 7-on-7 team. So, you know, it's going to be an emotional season. Not only is this guy changing schools and trying to get his NFL draft stock up at Miami, but now he also has the emotion to wear on his sleeve every day of, hey, I gotta play to take care of my family. My dad is gone, and so I think it's, you're gonna see an ultra motivated De'Aaron King when this season gets underway and when spring practice is underway on February 29th. I think, you know, these guys are really, and I think the other thing is when those kind of things happen. If you're sort of a beloved player on a team and the guys on the team support you, which I would expect that's going to happen with the other team here in Miami, that can rally other guys around you too. You know, guys are going to want to raise their level of play because they support you and they know what you're going through. And so it's the kind of thing that can bring a team together. Oh, and I hope for De'Aaron King this season at Miami turns out great for him, because I've heard nothing but great things about him as far as his personality and the way he is off the field.
All right, Manny Navarro, of course, joins us every week to talk a little Canes. What's the latest recruiting-wise, my brother? Anything new that we should know about?
Yeah, well, last week they were able to pick up the commitment from Thaddeus Franklin, the running back from Chaminade Madonna, who had previously been committed for a while. He's about 6'2", 215, and the kid, you know, it was kind of a surprise because everybody thought once he decommit, that's it. But Thaddeus decided that he wanted to commit again and be a part of the 2021 class. And so fans are happy about that. He's a big, like I said, 6 foot, 215, big thick kid who runs the ball really hard, physical back. You know, it's good for Miami because they basically got four scholarship running backs right now. And Cameron Harris, if he has a great junior season, we know he can end up going pro. You've obviously got Robert Burns, the veteran guy there, and Richard Jr., and you got the two freshmen, Don Cheney Jr. and Jalen Knighton, who everybody expects a lot from. But you're going to need another running back in this next class, and this guy is as good as it gets. So if they can hold on to him, I think if Miami has a good season, I remember talking to this kid before his junior year, he wanted to see Miami win. And, of course, they go out and they go 6-7, and then he decommits. So I can't blame him. These kids don't want to be a part of a losing program. So, you know, I guess he's bought into the new offensive coordinator, the new coaches on staff, and he wants to be part of it again. Hopefully Miami can keep him. But, again, anytime these kids decommit, change high schools, I always worry about it all because, to me, they're fleet of foot. Like, the first thing that they think about is out the door. This kid's already decommitted once. We'll see if he sticks all the way through. It's a long time until the next signing day in December.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Has Manny and company taken that hype road again this offseason a little bit? Is it starting to – are you starting to feel a little sauce on top of the talk, in other words?
I don't get that impression, man. I don't see a lot of pounding of the chest like I did a year ago with the new Miami this and the new Miami that. A lot of the videos that the school is putting out is just them working out and what they're doing with their off-season training. I have seen a little bit more reserved attitude, I think, from Manny. And I wrote about this when he did his press conference on signing day. I felt like you finally saw a coach who was like, you know what? We won 6-7 and lost FIU. There's no swagger here right now. There's no reason to walk around like we're big badasses when we haven't done anything. And it has been Manny's message. You know, he sat down with Andy Staples of The Athletic last week, my colleague, and did a podcast with him. And he kind of repeated his message. It's about the work. It's about what we're doing in the offseason, you know. And I think if he does more of that, I think the players sort of follow in line, man. I think they're going to follow suit. And you know how it is, though. Every coach, every player, most players repeat what their coach says. And I think you want to hear the players talk about what they're doing to improve versus, hey, we're the new Miami, we're this, we're that. I think that mentality has to be who this team is. And when ESPN, by the way, came out with their football power index, I don't know if you saw this, but I tweeted about it yesterday, they had Miami 37.
I was going to ask you about that, sixth in the ACC, yeah.
Yeah, sixth in the ACC. So to me, if I'm Manny Diaz, I'm jumping up and down because these kids, when they see that kind of stuff, it has to motivate them, right? Because Florida State, who just, you know, had a terrible season as well, won 6-7. They're number 23. And so if I'm Manny Diaz, I'm building that whole mentality of, look, everybody doubts us. Everybody saw what we did last year. We didn't do anything. We got to earn it. I think if you keep pumping that message through, eventually – kids are going to buy in that way, and that's going to be part of their motivation to show up and play well. Hey, nobody respects us. I think when Miami thinks that way, when Miami players think that way anyway, in the past, to me, that's almost been better when they've had doubters versus everybody patting them on the back and saying, oh, yeah, you got a new quarterback in Derek King. Of course you're going to be better. I think it's better for Miami to have this message of, hey, you're 37th. There's five other teams better than you in the ACC, and if you're going to impress us, you got to earn it on the field. And so I think Manny's okay with that.
All right, so Manny, let me ask you something. If they're voting Florida State that much higher than Miami, is it because they feel that Florida State has better talent overall than Miami? Because it can't be necessarily about the coaching or the results or anything. Both were poor on the field. Neither one was impressive. And I know that Florida State changed their coaches, but coach, and that's still an unknown. So is it more right about that the voters must feel that Florida State's roster is more stacked than Miami?
They could. I mean, the way the football politics is done is really based off of analytics. It's how much is returning in terms of production, et cetera. And I think for whatever reason, Florida State is viewed as being in a better position than Miami. But that's neither here nor there. We know that they have a new coach. We know that they, you know, their quarterback situation is far from settled. And so to me, the fact that they were 23 was a little eye opening. I didn't quite understand that, but again, it's most of it that is built on analytics. So I'm guessing part of that is they have maybe more guys returning in certain positions. Who knows? Maybe the loss of Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinkney and some of the guys that Miami had on its defensive line, like John Garvin and Scott Pat, maybe that you know, plays a factor. I don't know. I just know this. If I'm Manny Diaz, I'm happy that they're 37 and not, you know, 17 or something, where all of a sudden these guys see that and, oh, everybody knows we're going to be a top 25 team. I think you're much better off, man, when you can sort of, hey, look at that, man. You guys have beaten FSU 3 years in a row, and they still think those guys are better than you.
Oh, the Wide Right podcast. What's going on with it, my brother?
Well, we took last week off.
How dare you?
I was working on some other things.
How
yes,
dare you?
I know. Well, I warned everybody. I said, hey, there's going to be a little bit of a dead period here. We'll come back. But no, we're planning to do something here again soon. And I'm in the middle of working on that and booking some guests and stuff. But we'll be back at it. And as I teased you earlier, my colleague, Andy Staples, of The Athletic, who spent many years at Sports Illustrated, he has a news story that he posted on Monday from his sit-down with Manny Diaz. He's got the podcast that he did that's available at theathletic.com. And again, I keep telling everybody, man, $4 a month for all the coverage that you get from The Athletic, which is different from the newspapers and everything else. These are much longer reads usually. And we've got guys who break news on the beat all the time. Bruce Feldman, all these guys covered for college football. If you're a college football fan, man, I think we got the best website for college football coverage. So I encourage you to check it out and to get a subscription.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Better yet, go to Caneswear at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Get your Canes gear there. Get your Dolphins, Miami Heat, Marlins, Panthers, and how about Inter Miami? They got plenty of Inter Miami stuff. Plus, they'll be getting the jerseys in shortly. So all kinds of good stuff there at Caneswear. We thank Brett and all the great people for making it happen every week. Manny, as always, my brother, thank you for taking some time. You're an absolute stud, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, man.
Take you care. Got it, baby. There you go. The great Manny Navarro. Love having Manny on to talk a little Canes.